You're listening to another episode of HR Talk. It's our pleasure to be back here for you this week. And if I may, Ricky is all the way down in Orlando, JC up here in New York. This week we're going to be talking about self-identification, gender equality in the workplace, and all those fun things that go along with gender identity discrimination. Ricky, how are you?
I'm great. I don't know if it's fun, but yeah, I got you.
It is absolutely not fun. It's horrendous.
It really is.
It is. It is. So we're talking about gender identity in the workplace, self-identification.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get started, mm-hmm. Ricky, before the show, you were showing me a coupon that you had for Carrabba's. Are you kidding me, man? Are you going there today?
I am starving. So, yes, as soon as we're done today, I'm going to take the wife and the kid. We're going to go to Carrabba's. I think – hold on. I got it right here. It's 20% off of my entire check, dine-in only. But then they have another one for 20% off car-side carry-out. Why don't they just combine the two?
What's with the car-side carry-out thing anyways, man?
The what?
I mean, car-side carry-out, that's cool. But, like, just come on in. Go sit down. Well, some places you can't. There's one too many people, right?
But that's what I'm saying. I got this in the mail, and it's two coupons. One is for dine-in, one is for carry-out. Just combine it, right? Just combine it, and here you go. But I get it. I'm just hungry. I'm getting pasta withdrawals.
All right, man. Talking about combining things and Carrabba's. Carrabba's reminds me of a restaurant. I forget what the name of it was, though. It was something kind of like that we went to in Barcelona. Barcelona. Remember? It started with the C. It was a C. Abba's. I forget.
I don't remember.
It was a long, long time ago. But one of the things that stands out to me with Barcelona is with some of the nightclubs and the bars and stuff that we went to, how there was bathrooms, restrooms, but then there was just like one. Do you remember that? It was just one, and you had a urinal, and then you had a toilet, and there were no walls. You know, there was nothing. It was the restroom. Whoever needs to use it, go on in. But there were multiples. Do you remember that?
I got to be honest, man. In Barcelona, my whole Europe trip in the Marine Corps, I remember maybe 20% of it because it was this alcohol-laced experience.
That's why you took so many pictures. That's why you were the picture taker guy.
And that was before the whole selfie craze or a smartphone or even cell phones. Could you imagine if we had cell phones back? Yeah, nope. Not doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do remember the restrooms in that one nightclub. It was just literally restroom. There was no men, no women, no nothing. It was just one place to go and do your business and leave. It was kind of intimidating, kind of fun. It was good. I don't know, you know? So you were telling me about some issues with restrooms in the workplace that kind of got you thinking about this topic. Isn't that right?
Correct. It's this actually, this topic, this issue actually has come up several times with several companies I've been with. And the big issue is when you have an employee who identifies as a specific gender that is opposite of their physical gender. And how do you deal with those at work? And the main one is, so I'll throw this out to you, JC. So the main one would be is what restroom can they use, and what do you do if you got employees who complain about it? So let me give you an example. I'll give you a case study here. So you are the leader of a specific business unit, and you do have an employee who identifies as a woman, but physically he's got the physical attributes of a man, but he identifies as a woman, right? Or she identifies as a woman, and she uses the female's restroom. And now you have four or five employees who file a complaint with you saying, you can't believe you got a guy in the female's restroom. This needs to stop. I feel harassed. As a leader, JC, what do you do?
Well, I think first you need to call your legal counsel to kind of go over that Gender Recognition Act of 2004. There's also that Equality Act of 2010 talking about gender reassignments. We have to be very cognizant of equality acts do play a huge, huge role, huge part. Aside from legal counsel, I would probably turn to my HR director like you. And I would say, Ricky, I understand that John Smith is going into the ladies' restroom. Because that's how he identifies, and that's okay by me.
Okay. What about the employees, right? What do you say to the employees? The ones who complain. You got five of them who complain, hey, so-and-so is in the restroom. Why are you allowing guys in the female's restroom?
Okay. Let's have an all-staff meeting, and while we're together, please raise your hands if you have a penis. That would be a good thing to do.
So
that's
please
no, that's not a good thing to do. No.
So I'm drinking water here.
Okay. What about? Well, you're asking the dumb questions, so I'm going to play along with it. You know. Holy smokes,
okay, folks,
what do you
folks,
want from
for anybody
me?
Listening? Do not ask your employees if they have a penis and or a vagina. Do not ask that. That is none of your business. Please don't.
But it's safe to assume if someone has a vagina.
But so here's the thing. Here's the thing.
You just had penis and vagina come out of your mouth.
No, I just said those things.
I know.
Wow, we're really going downhill here. Let's bring it back.
The words came out of your mouth, though. You just had penis come out of your mouth.
No, I'm just drinking water there, JC. We're golden. So here is what you should do as a, well, first of all, from an HR perspective,
there it is.
Exactly like those laws, or those acts that you just cited, you got to make sure that you have them updated, right? Cause some things have changed in the past 15, 20 years, but from a human perspective, if you got, it's what I like to do. And this is just Ricky's world, right? From an HR point of view, if you have four or five employees who complain and have some concern because you've got a what they perceive as a male in the female's restroom, I guess my question to them is, what exactly are they worried about? What is your concern here? Is your concern safety? Is your concern that somebody's there to just spy on you? What is your concern? And I've asked that question before, and how they come back to me is, or the answer to that question normally is, well, they're there because they want to see me use the restroom. They're there to harass me. They're there to just spy on me, whatever the case may be. My response to that is, how do you know there isn't anybody in there who is the same sex as you, who identifies as something else, but keep it to themselves? How do you know they're not doing the same thing at that point? And that kind of puts some pause in them. The second point is, have they given you any reason for you to feel harassed reasonably? Now, there's the key word, reasonable.
Reasonably. Right.
Correct. And if the answer is yes, they're in the bathroom, that is not reason enough. Focus on what you're doing, do your business, and leave. That's all you need to do.
Just make sure you wash your hands.
Absolutely. Thank you. Because absolutely. This, wash
That's
your
a different
hands.
Show altogether. It's a hot button topic for me. That's fine.
To me, that's the biggest issue, right?
Rick,
it's the washing of hands.
While we are on this topic and still early in the process here, all the jokes aside, the Human Rights Campaign, HRC.org, does recommend the term be stated as gender identity or expression. It states, and I quote, although a person's gender expression or external expression of gender differs from his or her gender identity or internal sense of gender, in law and policy, the term gender identity is often defined or at least understood to include an individual's gender expression to ensure that expectations are clearly communicated to employees and potential applicants. Employers should use the term gender identity or expression in policies and written communications or other communications. That's from the Human Rights Campaign, HRC.org. Back to you.
That is correct. You should have your policies, your employee handbook updated regularly, and have training on it. Have training it, because had there been some good training as to what is to be expected from any employee who self-identifies at whatever they want to identify with, if you have other employees who don't necessarily have a different view in that, they'll know what to expect. They'll know what to expect in the bathroom. They'll know what to expect in the cafeteria. They'll know what to expect in meetings, whatever the case may be. But the biggest culture hit is when somebody is hired as, I don't know, John, right? And then a week later or a month later, a year later, whatever, they identified as Brenda, right? So how do employees deal with that? How do your fellow employees or managers deal with that change? That training has to be there, because you got to be careful. You can't, as an employee, as a human being who's an employee, you would have curious, honest questions. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what happened? So you got to be careful when that conversation strikes up at work on how you're asking that question as a fellow coworker.
I have two definitions I'd like to lay out there for anyone that might be familiar with the terms but not actually know the full-length definitions here. The phrase gender identity refers to one's self-identification as a man or woman as opposed to one's anatomical sex at birth, where the phrase gender expression refers to how society views one's gender identity based on cues like clothing, haircut, voice, and name, recognizing mm-hmm. someone as a woman or a man.
Correct. So if from an employer's perspective, how do you deal with those? From an HR perspective, how do you deal with that? How do you deal when you hired somebody as John and now they want to be addressed as Brenda? So the answer to that is they're identifying as Brenda. Treat them as such.
All right. So Rick, high level, what is gender identity discrimination then?
So I don't want to say discrimination. I think more is hostile environment. So when it comes to hostile environments, it's not to say discrimination and hostile environment have different types of hurtful acts to the employees or anybody else. But as far as hostile environment, it can be directly or indirectly. One example would be the same example that I just used a few minutes ago. Somebody's coming in as John, and now they identified as Brenda. They want to be addressed as Brenda, and they're dressing as a woman, is when employees are shocked about it, and they're constantly pestering the employee, asking questions. Why are you doing this? I thought you were hired as this. You was hired as that. To the point that the employee now can't work because they are in such a hostile environment by all these questions that are being pegged day after day, time after time, because of their identity.
So this piece I have here, this is from workplacefairness.org, is stating that gender discrimination against transgendered people in the workplace may include being fired when the employer finds out about your plan to undergo the sex change or sex mm-hmm. reassignment surgery, one. Two, being fired for cross-dressing outside the workplace if your employer finds out. Three, mm-hmm. if you, as a transgender person, attempt to wear clothing appropriate to your gender identity, you may be disciplined, reassigned, or terminated based on a failure to conform to a company dress code policy that makes no effort to accommodate transgender individuals. Four, being refused access to workplace restroom facilities and harassed by coworkers and supervisors on the basis of your identity. And then lastly, being denied equal treatment in public accommodation, which can affect your ability to successfully function in the workplace. That's what they currently have listed as gender identity discrimination against transgendered people in the workplace may be inclusive. What federal law covers all this? What federal law covers this?
Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. It talks about discrimination based on age, race, sex, gender, things of that nature. That is covered by federal law overall when it comes to Title VII. So that what you just read off is it's updated, right? Because the Title VII is from the 1960s, but it's the way the world is today, where we have an environment where human beings are more understanding about other people's identity or how other people choose to live their life. When it comes into work, you do have people at work, unfortunately, that are not as understanding, and then that does create that that harassment environment or that hostile environment and that discriminatory environment, especially when it comes to bathrooms. So it's to bring it down to real down home examples of what you should and shouldn't do. What you should do as an employer, what you should do as an HR professional, is to provide those facilities and to provide that training on how employees need to be respectful and understanding about other people's identity and how they choose to live their life. Because at the end of the day, it's really none of our business. Come in, do your job, and then go home. You're good, right? But here's where it gets a little bit tricky is when you have some leaders or some employees who start to get in other people's business. So one example would be is and I've actually had this happen about a few years ago, JC, which kind of got me when I had a manager come talk to me. This is a few companies ago. I've had a manager come talk to me from an HR point of view, asking that why should he, the manager, be understanding or be I don't see understanding, be accommodating to somebody who's just confused about what he or she needs to be. So I was really confused about that question. So I'm like, what do you mean? Well, this person was hired as a guy. Now this person wants to be a woman. How am I supposed to know? You hired him as a guy, Rick. You hired him as a guy, and now he wants to be a girl. Why can't they just stay the way they were hired? So my question to that manager was, so let me understand this. When you hire people, do you ask them to pull the pants down to verify what gender they are? It's like, why would I do that? So you're just assuming, you're going by what they tell you, right? Same thing here. When they tell you they're one thing and they tell you there's something else later on, you go by what they say. Now, here's the thing. There is a piece. There is a piece of that rationale that you are able to step in and say, okay, stop. We need to have a conversation because now it's being disruptive. And here's what I mean. If somebody comes in on Monday, they say, I want to be this. They come in on Tuesday, say, I want to be that. Then on Wednesday, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If that back and forth creates a unreasonable disruption to the workplace, you can now step in as an employer and have a conversation on how that is affecting everything at work. That's the only time that you can actually step in. Other than that, you let the employee lead how he or she wants to be addressed.
Since gender identity disorder is a medical condition, are transgender people protected by disability discrimination laws?
Medical condition?
Yes. Gender identity order disorder is a medical condition, correct? So with that being a medical condition, are they protected by disability discrimination laws?
Let's talk about that there, JC, because I don't know if it overall is a medical condition. And I'm not a medical expert, so I don't know if there's any kind of disorder with it. But if it's identified in the medical world, any kind of disorder that they either they're undergoing surgery, whatever the case may be, then, yeah, you need to have that conversation under ADA to see if there can be any kind of accommodations or go through the FMLA process. But in itself, one identifying themselves as one thing versus another, that will not qualify as a medical disorder.
I was able to find something here while you were talking. It says transgender people are unfortunately not protected under federal laws that prohibit discrimination on the basis of handicap or disability. Although transsexualism has been recognized for many years as a medical condition, both of the federal laws, it says, making it illegal to discriminate on the basis of disability, the Rehab Act and Americans with Disability Act, explicitly exclude transsexualism and gender identity disorders not resulting from physical impairments from protection. I find that interesting. I never knew that piece before. Again, this is workplacefairness.org.
So I'm not going to lie. I've never heard of it as a disorder. Now, again, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but from a medical perspective, which again, I'm not a medical professional, I've never heard of it from that point of view. But I got to tell you, man, it's although there isn't a law that federally that specifically addresses it from a Title VII perspective, one could argue that it falls under sex and gender, right? So it's if somebody says that I am being discriminated against, I'm not getting a job because I'm a guy identifying as a woman or vice versa. Wouldn't that have to do with sex, therefore violating Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which is one of the prongs of it?
Logically, so, you have a point there, right?
And a good argument can be made that under that law. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. So what I'm saying is in order to protect yourself as an organization, just do the right thing and just give anybody who asks for any kind of an accommodation reasonably, whether it's the bathroom, anywhere else, just give them those accommodations. And outside of North Carolina, I think that happened a couple of years ago. I think they may have changed it. There really is no law that says you have to use this male's restroom because you're a male or a women's restroom because you're a female. There is no law. I don't know of any employee handbook that says you have to use this specific bathroom. That's just that the facilities are available.
Going to hit you with a few questions real quick here if you're ready for it.
Shoot.
Are jokes or slurs about transgender employees against the law?
Against the law? Yes, it would. Jokes at all that becomes harassing in nature is against the law.
What if
that falls under workplace harassment?
What if my employer doesn't know my gender identity? What should I do?
Give me more context to that. What do you mean?
You have not identified with your employer whether or not you're male or female. Your employer does not know your gender identity. Do you have to disclose your gender identity to your employer?
No, not really. No, it's you don't have to disclose it, but in conversation, you want to make it as easy as possible for your employee to know how to address you. So you might want to let them know, look, I want to be addressed as a he. I want to be addressed as she. You can't assume that the employer already knows that you are identifying as something other than what you first came on board with. So it's your responsibility to educate them on how you want to be addressed.
You have an employee come to you that admits that they are heading down a new path, that they are beginning a transition, and that they will be changing name, changing sexual orientation, and becoming the new them.
Okay.
What do you do as the employer? What's a few key steps that you do to help that employee?
Well, so here's the things. Assuming that we have a good training program in place for all leaders and all employees on how to receive this kind of a change overall, not just for that specific person. I would want to have a conversation with that person of what he or she wants, how he or she wants to be addressed later on, and how we could be accommodating to that. Because if there is any kind of a medical procedure involved, it does fall under FMLA, and you could take some kind of leave for that procedure. Outside of that, we are required as an employer by law to have an open and dynamic discussion and interactive discussion under ADA to see how we can help if there's any kind of medical accommodations necessary.
Do you communicate restroom choices to other employees? Do you communicate and do new introductions?
I wouldn't do that. I would not do that because think about it. How's that going to sound? I'm going to have a team meeting and say, hey guys, all 100 employees, just want to let you know John will now be using the female's restroom. No, that could be seen as putting the employee in the spot, especially if he or she doesn't want to be put on the spot.
Okay.
But if you got training on that, go ahead.
I'll rephrase it. I'm going to pitch it back to you a different way. John comes to you and says, John is now going to start to formally transition and become Susan. John is going to now have a new identity, new documents, new everything. and John is looking for your support as the employer, what do you do?
Okay. I would
ask
John.
He wants to be called Susan now.
All right, John, how would you like for me to help? How can I help you make this as easy as possible for you? Do you want me to tell all the other employees? Do you want me to send out an email? Now, I'm not saying that's what you should do. You should always let the employee drive that how you want to help them. Do not assume that one way or another is how the employee wants the information to be communicated. You let them lead that conversation and lead how you are to help them, because it's crucial. Because it's I don't know. As an employer, you don't know what he or she is going through mentally or emotionally. So you want to be as compassionate as possible in that process. That is the most comfortable for them. So you let them lead that conversation, but you have a responsibility to follow that conversation in a way that's mutually beneficial for the organization.
As the change is taking place, can a employer prevent an employee from dressing in the clothing appropriate to their gender identity, abiding by the fact that it does comply with the sex-specific dress code according to their gender identity? So as the employer, can you prevent them from doing that?
The employer cannot prevent the employee from wearing specific clothing from a specific gender, so long as the dress code policies are being followed. So, for example, you have dress code policies for women, you have dress code policies for men. If you have a man who is following the dress code policy of a woman, that in itself is not illegal. That in itself, it's not a violation of policy, because they're still following the process. You should, as an employer, you should not have a policy that says if you are a man, you are bound to the male's dress code policies. Now, the only time you can hold an employee accountable is if they violate either one of those policies. So, for example, if you are a man who wants to come into work wearing a skirt, obviously that's under the female's policy, right? Dress code policy, but it also says that the skirt cannot be a mini skirt. It cannot be no more than 2 inches above the knee, the bottom of the skirt. If the male comes in with, I don't know, a foot above the knee, then yeah, you can hold him accountable for violating the specific policy, not because he wore a mini skirt. I hope that makes sense.
Last question for you.
Okay.
Is a employer required to pay for medical treatment or sex reassignment surgery?
So that's a tricky one. There isn't a requirement that says yes or no. It really depends on what kind of benefits the employer is offering. I know some organizations would they allow it depending on what kind of benefits they offer in that specific entity. So no, the answer is no. There is no law that specifies whether an employer can or cannot do it. It's solely depending up. It depends upon what benefits are out there and what they offer.
Names and pronouns, my friend. Names and pronouns at the end of the day, you know, everyday interactions, usage, managers, supervisors, coworkers, utilizations of names and pronouns appropriate to the gender identity of the employee. Right? Mm-hmm. We want to be very cognizant of that. Specialized training, Rick. Highly recommended for the workforce out there, for supervisors, managers, leaders. Yes?
Absolutely. Let's go back to names and pronouns, right? Let's be careful with that, because you let the employee dictate to you how he or she wants to be addressed.
And then when we have that down, we respect that and we use that as per their choice and designation, correct?
Within reason. And here's what I mean within reason. If they want to be addressed by as she or he, that's fine. But if the employee says, I want to be addressed as Your Excellency, no, we're not going to go that route. It's either he or she. How do you want to be addressed?
Yeah, but what if that's someone's, what, I'm saying within reason. What if they make a legal name change? And the legal name is first name, Her Space Excellency. Two part first name. What's wrong with that?
So if that's
I'm being dead serious. What if there's a legal name change?
So let's say, let's say that's the legal name, right? I'm not an attorney, but I would venture to guess that that's their legal name. You would have to address them as a legal name, unless the organization can come up with some kind of an argument that says it is unreasonable to call them that every day. Which I doubt I highly doubt that will go far in court.
No,
I highly doubt it.
That wouldn't work out. If someone made the appropriate legal name changes, and now on their social security card it says Her Excellency as first name.
That would be great.
That's their name, right?
You're right. No. You are.
If I go change my first name right now to Princess Spider-Man Buttercup, and I prefer to be called by my first name in the same way that you call John or Susan or Ted their first name, and my first name is now Princess Spider-Man Buttercup, what are you going to do, brother? You're going to call me by my name, right?
Or, hey, employee 45678, how are you? Everything okay?
There's your Star Wars coming out on you now, right? There's your Star Wars leaking out, right? Holy smokes, this guy.
Look, if your name Storm is Trooper Spider-Man Princess Buttercup, I will call you by your employee ID, because I'm not going to call you Princess Spider-Man Buttercup. I'll just, hey, employee ID, there you go. We're good. That's funny. But no, in all seriousness.
Hey, question for you. Question for you.
If it's a legal name change, you're good, huh?
Hiring process. What do we have to consider during the hiring process, man, in regards to the name and gender on the application, making sure that it corresponds with the current usage?
It's the normal application stays the same. You know, it's you ask, well, actually, for an application.
Do I have to remove sexual orientation from my forms?
Hopefully you don't have it on there, but okay. The only thing you have on there is, are you at least 18 years of age? There's nothing else we would ask application.
Maybe I have a supplemental form that just simply asks, like, how did you hear about this job? And on that form, it asks, you know, your race, your religion, your sexual orientation, and some basics for statistics purposes.
So
do I need to get rid of that form?
So you do have to get rid of that form. The only time you will see anything in an application after the application process is complete is for data capturing purposes, and only as an option, you are able to ask, are you your race /and/or nationality for identification, for data capturing process only. Now, that is not – you don't have to provide that information.
Well, of course, it's optional. But we've all seen these forms, and they might be on the backside of our applications. Maybe it's an online piece that's fully integrated through our website, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all that good core data capture to report back to find out, you know, if the household is what their race is, how many children they have.
It's for affirmative action stuff.
It, regarding the affirmative action aspect of things, man, maybe it needs to be revisited. Maybe some of these considerations should be thrown out the window.
There's nothing in affirmative action that deals with sexual orientation or gender identity.
So if we do have sexual orientation, gender identity listed on any of these forms or documents, we may want to reconsider the way that they're currently displayed through our application process.
Reconsider? No. Remove the shit out of them. Take them out. You shouldn't have that on there to begin with.
There he is. There he is.
Yeah.
I knew you were coming out.
Take it out. Now, it's through the I-9 process to verify whether you're legally allowed to work in the United States or not. I mean, of course, you're going to see that information on there, but a determination on whether you are able to work because of that information that's realized during the I-9 process, you cannot make a determination, but you don't get that, or you didn't go through the I-9 process until after a decision has been made for you to be hired. That only needs to be provided when you first come into work and start working.
I kind of have a feeling that some of those questions might not be on there. I don't know why I'm thinking that. I don't know. I'm just going to stop
talking. No, they're not. They're not. But what I'm saying is when somebody is starting to work on their very first day, you've got to turn in some kind of documentation that says who you are and whether you're legally allowed to work in the United States. And if you provide a passport, if you provide a birth certificate, you provide a driver's license, your sex is going to be listed on there, right? So it's not a question, but you could see it as an employer. But again, a decision should not be made because of that. That's why we require that information after a hiring decision has been made. And the question isn't on there, but the information is there.
And with that being said, Rick, we are nearing 36 minutes on in here. Let's go ahead and wrap things up. Any final thoughts for you, sir?
The final thought is if you have an employee who identifies as one gender or another, help that employer through that entire process. Make sure you got the right training in place for your supervisors and for all the employees as to what is expected from your organization. If we do have an employee that is going through that process, so you can foster a culture of understanding, a culture of compassion, and a culture of trust. At the end of the day, be that human being and let employees be who they want to be. You do that, you're going to be A-OK in the workforce.
Ricky, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I want to thank you for taking care of this topic today.
You're welcome. Wow, that sounds majestic.
Yes, well, I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you've done. That was my big voice. How'd you like my big voice?
Is that right? That's awesome, man. We should do an entire show like that.
An entire show this way. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my pleasure. On behalf of Ricky, I'm JC. Drive safe. Have a good night out there. Don't forget, find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those things in between. If you have a topic for an upcoming show, don't hesitate to reach out. Drive safe. Have a good night.
Peace.